Welcome to Stutter Talk for this episode of Tips from the Pros, the Parents Edition, with special guest Dr. Philip Schneider. Today, Dr. Schneider discusses two principles for building confidence and self-esteem in children who stutter. Principle number one, good listening equals good loving. How can we be great listeners? And principle number two, honor the essence of the child's message. Enjoy the show. How are you, Dr. Schneider?
Wonderful to be here with you, Peter.
Phil Schneider is a board-recognized fluency specialist and associate professor emeritus of communication disorders at Queen's College and has been in private practice for more than 35 years. Tips from the Pros is not speech therapy and is not counseling or coaching. General comments about stuttering may not apply to any particular person who stutters or family. If you are looking for a professional to help you work on stuttering, two well-respected referral lists are the Stuttering Foundation at stutteringhelp.org and Board Recognized Fluency Specialist at stutteringspecialists.org. So, Phil, as we're getting started here, when parents tune into a show that's, you know, tips for parents, they might be expecting tips on how to get their child to stop stuttering or to stutter less or fluency tips, but you're not going to be giving those tips today. What type of tips are you going to be giving today?
These comments and these tips are designed to help us help our children know that they are intrinsically worthwhile, that they are intrinsically okay, that stutter or no stutter, that the world will listen to what they have to say, and that what they have to say, we value. That's how we help them grow into people who feel free to speak their mind, even though speaking is sometimes physically challenging. They need a lot of courage, they need a lot of self-confidence, and they need to know that they're going to be listened to. How are we going to teach them that? We're going to teach them that by making sure that we become great listeners and show them that what they have to say has tremendous value to us. That's how we value our kids. And we need to do that whether they are stuttering or not stuttering, and that is not a contradiction to helping them find ways to speak more easily. But certainly, I think our first obligation to our children is to let them know we value what they have to say. And that lesson that they get by how we listen to them can project out and color their lives for the next 100 years.
So, Dr. Schneider, I know there are several principles that we're going to work through today. The first principle, good listening equals good loving.
Something that all of us want from each other, but particularly that our children want, need, and deserve from us as parents, is they want to be heard. They want to know that we're listening to them, which doesn't mean that we agree with them. It just means we hear you. What I really wanted to suggest to those of us who are parenting children who stutter, that there are some simple and safe and helpful things that we can say to our children, which can help build their self-esteem, and their drive to communicate, and their courage, whether they continue to stutter or they do not continue to stutter. And there are two basic principles that I'm going to use to guide us in these comments. The first one is that good listening is actually good loving. And all of us want to provide for our kids good loving. And that's an ingredient, a vitamin supplement that will help their self-esteem for their entire lives. One of the ways to do that is to work on being great listeners. And that means not that we agree with our children or disagree or ask them questions, but we let them know that we want to hear what they have to say and that we do hear what they are saying to us. So I want to give you some simple kinds of ideas for doing that, for being good listeners. The first is to actually acknowledge when the child wants to be heard. Oh, I see you want to tell me something. And then to acknowledge that we want to hear it. I can't wait to hear what you want to say. And then the next one, particularly for children who are stuttering, can be very powerful, which is, hey, would you like to come over here so I can hear you? Or would you like me to come over to you? And that allows you to get close to them, to get to their level, and even close enough to touch, so you can put their arm around them, you sit down with them. And when you're that close, in a soft voice and in a slow manner, you can say, "Now I'm ready to listen." And that really lets them know that you fully honor and appreciate that they want to speak to you and that you stop what you're doing to listen. And then if they're done speaking, you can say, "You know, thank you for telling me that," or "I'm so glad you asked me," or "I'm glad you let me know that," or "Thanks for sharing your feelings about that. Hey, and you know what? Thanks for those wonderful questions." Before you think they're finished, they may or may not be finished. You can end by giving them the courtesy of saying, "You know, is there anything more that you wanted to say?" And then there's always the situation where we're not quite sure what they said. And we could say, "Say it again," or "I didn't hear you." Or we can say, "I'm sorry. I wasn't listening well. I missed something you said." And don't ask them to repeat it, but just wait. And then, in fact, they may say it over or clarify the piece that you're missing. So again, the focus is, I want to hear you. I hear you. It's not, I agree, I disagree, I argue, or I question. Those are some simple things you can do to be a really great listener. And very often when we have children who stutter, the stuttering distracts us from listening to their message. These rules will help you center on that.
So, Phil, what do you think that a child gets from good listening?
The most important listeners in a child's life are mom and dad, the parents. And if a child grows up in a house where the parents always listen to that child, whether they stutter or not, that child knows that what they have to say has value and will be listened to in the world. That's their first experience of a communication partner. If the parent feels it's their job to correct or fix the child, then the child knows that when they speak, the world is not going to be listening to what they have to say. The world is going to be listening to whether they stutter or not. So it sets up an experience that they can connect and that their message will be heard and that they will be responded to based on their desire to communicate, not on whether or not a word gets interrupted.
One of the tips you gave that instead of asking a child to repeat him or herself, the parent can say something like, "I wasn't listening well there." Why is that important?
Well, it takes the responsibility away from the child and it puts it on the parent. And by the way, so often I know for myself, I'm only half listening. I'm listening to my wife or my children, who are now adults, or my grandchildren, and my mind is really partially on something else. So I miss something they're saying. It would be in a way unfair to say to the child, you know, "Say that again," without taking responsibility from my end. So if I say, you know, "I missed what you said, I really wanted to hear it, and I wasn't listening well," I'm honoring them, I'm respecting them in the process, I'm letting them know I want to hear, and it's my fault I wasn't listening well, now I'm ready to listen better. And it also role models for them how to be a good listener.
So Phil, before we get to principle number two, here's the big question. So many parents, and understandably so, come into a speech pathologist's office and they say, "My child's stuttering so much, can you make them stop?" Now, how do you get the parent from that place to a place of really wanting to be a good listener?
It's not easy for a parent of a child who stutters. Parenting is hard enough. When your child is stuttering, it sets off a lot of concerns for many of us as parents. Will my child make friends? Will my child be able to speak out in class? Ultimately, when they grow up, will they do okay in finding a soulmate? Will they be able to find employment? It sets off a lot of concerns in a parent to see a child struggling to speak. And perhaps most of all, will my child feel different and inferior to other people, ashamed of themselves? And so it logically leads to seeking professionals in hopes that we can take this problem away from the child. But one of the unique dilemmas that stuttering brings up for a parent as it relates to principle one, good listening is good loving, is the fact that when your child speaks and stutters, it makes us as parents concerned about the well-being of our child. It distracts us from listening to the child's message in that moment because our concern jumps and we start to think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen with this when they go to school? What's going to happen with this as they get older? What should I do to fix it? What did the therapist tell me? And all of those thoughts going through our minds as parents can prevent us from hearing that the child wanted to tell us something, and from hearing and being aware of their excitement or their upset. But we basically wind up in two different worlds where it becomes hard to listen. And what we really want is for this child to feel good about themselves no matter what, and to communicate as they grow up no matter what, stutter or no stutter. Yes, there are things to learn and to do that can be helpful in trying to make speaking easier and reduce the interruptions, absolutely. But the child learns from the parent early on values. What do we value more? Do we value the surface, that is, the bumps on the surface, the stuttering, the interruptions in a sentence? Or do we value your spirit, your feelings, your emotions, and your thoughts, which you're trying to share? How do we bias how we listen? Because that will teach our children what's most important. And if we work on being great listeners in a very active, clear, simple, safe way, we can strengthen their feeling that they are okay and that what they say has value and will be listened to, stutter or no stutter. And that's the basis for these suggestions.
Okay, Phil, thanks for taking on those follow-up questions. Let's move on to principle number two.
So principle number two is we need to work on honoring the essence of the message our children are putting out to us. So the stuttering is the surface, but the essence is they want to connect with us. They want to tell us about their inner experience of life, their thoughts and their feelings and the experiences that they're having. And we want to honor that so that they will continue to feel comfortable putting that out to us and to other people for their entire lives, stutter or no stutter. And so some of the things that we can do, and I'm going to give you some examples. If your child says something to you that's funny and you hear it, you can say, you know, you make me smile. You bring joy and laughter into the world. That's going to be one of the things that you're going to be special about. And you know what? This world needs more joy and laughter. And that's what you do. And again, if your child makes you smile, whether they stutter or not, let's tell them that the essence of their message was they channel joy into the world. And then maybe 50 years from now, they'll still know that that's part of who they are. Let's say your child asks you some really difficult questions. Say, you know what? You ask great questions. And the smartest people in the world, the innovators, the people who change things, the scientists, the leaders in every part of this world, they all were people who asked good questions, and you're one of those people. Let's say your child argues with you about something. You set a limit. Oh, we're going to get to bed early tonight. Oh, I don't want to. Give me two good reasons you don't want to that we should think about. Well, I don't want to because of this, and I don't want to because of that. You know something? You are a good arguer. You make some very good arguments. And you know, you'll be able to use that power, that strength to argue, to help people learn things and to be able to change people's opinions in meaningful ways. You're going to be a very strong communicator who'll be able to change the way people look at things and think about things. That's one of your great talents and skills. Let's say a child expresses to you, you know, I'm very angry with you. I'm angry with you and Daddy because of da-da-da-da-da. So instead of being defensive and saying, well, you shouldn't be angry and we have the right to do this, you say, wow, thank you for expressing your feelings with such clarity and such strength. You know, you're going to have great, meaningful, and strong relationships because you express your feelings openly and clearly, and you use your words so beautifully to do that. This provides an opportunity for our relationships to grow. That's a wonderful thing, to express your feelings that way. Let's say your child sees somebody on the street who looks like they're not feeling well, or they're impoverished, or they're sitting on the corner, or somebody in the family, and they comment, wow, why is so-and-so sad? Why was that person crying? Now, maybe they're stuttering when they say it, maybe they're not. But we can go to respond to the essence and honor the essence of their message. Wow, You see other people's feelings. That's called compassion. You're someone who's going to see people's needs in this world and respond to it. The world needs people like that. And so the result of this kind of listening and honoring the essence of their message, one day somebody might say to your child, hey, how come you talk funny? How come you repeat words? How come you go, whoa, whoa, whoa? And the child might say, well, I do stutter a bit, or I get stuck on some words, or I'm a little bit bumpy sometimes. But did you hear how funny I was? Did it make you laugh? Or did you hear how sensitive my comment was? Or did you hear the strength of my argument? Have you thought about that? Or the essence of that question and why that's an important question? How will they know that that's part of them? We're going to tell them thousands of times while they're growing up. You bring joy in the world. You ask questions. You will change the world through good questions. You see people's needs. You are a sensitive person. You're a compassionate person. You express your feelings. You'll have strong relationships. That's how we're going to teach them those lessons about not how to speak, but why to speak and what's the essence of communicating. And that's how we'll build their self-esteem as speakers, communicators, and as people. And that's how we'll help them be strong, even if they do retain a tendency to stutter.
Listening to you talk, Phil, it reminds me of the things I'm doing and the things I need to do more of.
Beautiful.
So Stutter Talk has a pretty wide audience base, and I know that there's some graduate students listening. So if a graduate student is listening and they think about your two principles, good listening equals good loving, and honor the essence of the child's message. And the graduate student says to themselves, well, this is really nice, but aren't we supposed to make the child fluent? Aren't we supposed to make the child stop stuttering? What would you say to that graduate student who's grappling with these tips?
BS graduate students, parents, or experienced professionals, the idea of stopping stuttering is a dangerous thought. Stuttering is an involuntary interruption in the motor system when you're speaking. The best way to stop that from happening is to somehow convey a message to not speak. So the idea that the goal is to stop stuttering would suggest that we want to tell people who stutter not to speak. And unfortunately, some people who grow up stuttering kind of absorb that message that they really should not open their mouth, that it's really a bad thing to do, and that they are bad. What we want to do is help people speak easily and also be strong so they can speak even when it's difficult. Because the people we work with who stutter have this involuntary trait. Many of the children will outgrow it, some in response to various therapy approaches, and some in response to maturation. But the reality is, if we're working with people who tend to stutter, to tell them or in some way to think that the goal is that they should not stutter, there is a risk in packaging our thoughts in that way. And the risk is that we send a message that unless you don't stutter, we don't want to hear from you. So what I'm suggesting here is our goal is to help these children be able to communicate and feel good about themselves no matter what. And certainly that seems to be the most important thing. And second, of course, there are many things we can be involved in to help them learn how to handle these interruptions more gracefully and more efficiently.
Phil, I can't thank you enough for joining us on this special edition of Tips from the Pros.
Thank you, Peter.
Pink carnations, red roses, and yellow daffodils. Don't forget the flowers someday, I know you will. Displays of affection and all good intentions, why don't you just send me a bill? Don't forget the flowers someday.